There's no borders when we are talking about food.
You received the coveted Michelin star weeks after October 7th. You were busy cooking meals for the troops going into Gaza.
I saw the eyes of the soldiers, and that was my mission. I was completely there.
Welcome back to our summer series, Being Jewish with Jonah Platt, 30-Minute Mensches. Same vibe, same tribe, shorter episodes. Today, we're taking a bite out of creativity, deep ancestry, and also hummus. A ninth-generation Jerusalemite. Man, that's a mouthful. My guest today is one of the most influential chefs ever to come out of Israel, despite having no formal culinary training. He's the force behind Miznon, Hasalon, and nearly 40 restaurants that serve up Tel Aviv magic to happy diners all around the globe. I'm already starving. Please welcome to the show, Chef Eyal Shani.
Hello. Toda rabba.
It's great to have you here. Thank you. We already have this on the books, and I was just going to be focused on the food of it all, but I have to mention, early July, Miznon Melbourne was attacked by some violent protesters. How much does something like that affect you? I mean, you're worlds away. You've got a lot of restaurants, but it is your restaurant. So, like, what's the feeling?
Look, it's a process. The touching is a process. The first thing to touch me, my team, my people that are going with me, that I'm leading them, that they are a part of my soul, that are working for us and try to deliver the message that we have to deliver to the world. And they are the people that are putting their hands on. And they were hurt. And they are not Israeli. One of them is Israeli. There's always one. The head chef is always an Israeli. But all the other team and the other chefs are not Israeli. Never experienced in their life
right. That
kind of situation. For me, as an Israeli guy, in the last war, in the last 12 days of war with Iran, when they shoot missiles on my home, I went into the shelter, and 5 minutes after that, I went out and continued my life because I used to it. People are shooting on us in Israel from the day that I was born. But for them, it's experience that they couldn't imagine that they will pass, and they were got shocked and got such a trauma that half of them didn't want to return back to work. Okay, that's nothing. The fact is that they felt that they fall in such a trouble that not belongs to them. And that's hurt me a lot.
You had the opportunity to speak directly with the team there?
Immediately. We made a contact with them. And we saw what is happening. The first thing to do that they throw tomatoes on them. That was the soft part of the situation. And something was funny with that because tomatoes are running after me all my life in so many different situations. It's like a symbol, and suddenly I saw them splashing on my workers. And then the chairs enter into the scene, and then the tables. And we were very lucky. Three brothers, Lebanese brothers, that have pizza beside us.
Mm-hmm.
These were the people to save my team.
Wow.
And they cut the attack. Other way, they would kill our people.
Listening to you speak right now, it makes me want to ask, how much of what you do is about the people that you do it with?
It's all about the people. I'm leading energy into the world. I'm doing it through food. If you are my guest, I'm creating a dish, charging it with my will, with my wishes, my hope, my energy, and sending it into your body. You open your mouth, taking it in, it's going down, melting in your blood, and you are carrying my energy inside my body, not less. That is the principle.
Wow.
With my workers, it's all about them. Why? You can have the best methods, the best ingredients, the best perspective of our making food and knowledge, but that makes nothing. It's when somebody is seeing you as a customer, looking on your eyes, doing his job, creating your dish, putting his all attention, all his focus into it, concentrating his energy into it, and giving it to you. That is the process. So I need the people to be completely into that process. And that is the thing that I'm teaching them.
How difficult is it to maintain that level of connection and passion and personality in your food when you have, for example, Misnon, there's a bunch of them all over the place and all different kinds of places, and you have to...
Till you are not reaching the edge, it's not interesting. It's just a hard job to do. But when you are reaching the end and you're becoming one with your team and you are trying to influence on them, to teach them, to show them a different way of cooking that make an immediate influence on the way of life, it's not interesting. It's interesting when you're stepping into a big change that you deliver to your people. And I got something like 60 restaurants. And there's a big question that is coming out of that. How can I manage it? How can I control on it? There's an immediate answer. There's no way. But when you find that there's no way to do it, you have to ask yourself again, so what is the way? And I found a very simple way. When we're opening a restaurant, I'm there for a month, for 2 months, with my team, especially with my chef. And I'm copying my spirit, my belief, into its own brain. And when I'm living with him. I'm not sleeping with him. That is the only thing that I'm not doing with him. But I'm eating with him. We are talking. We have so many conversations about so many things around our life. And then after a month, when I'm going back to my homeland, I feel secure that I print my mind on his mind. And I change his point of view. And from that day, he will look in a different way on his life and on the food that he's creating. That is my way to manage that chaotic situation.
I love that. So, Shimona, in New York City, which I've not had the chance to eat at yet. It's on my list. You received the coveted Michelin star just days, weeks after October 7th. I know despite being a lifelong dream of yours, you were not at the ceremony to receive that star because you were busy cooking meals for the troops going into Gaza. That's got to be so many different emotions at once. Can you take us back to those days when all of that is happening at the same time?
I had the feeling that we are going to win the Michelin star. It, as you say, it was in the beginning of the war. I thought about it for a minute. And these thoughts left me immediately. Mm. In the evening, when was the big prize, I was cooking in the front for soldiers that went out from Gaza. It was after 2 months that they were there without getting home, without ability to connect to their families. They are without cellular there. I got a phone call from my partner, Shachar Segal, that is living in New York City. And he told me, you won a star. And it was a moment when I roasted 300 pieces of prime rib. 300 pieces. You know what is to control on it? Can you imagine the smoke that is coming, that covering you completely? And through that, he told me, you won the star. Aren't you happy? I say, it's a good thing. But it didn't interest me at all, because I saw through the fog, I saw the eyes of the soldiers, I saw the stakes that I have to control on it, and that was my mission. I was completely there. The Michelin star was looking to me something so far away, not belong to the intents of the life that I'm doing now. It wasn't important for me.
Have you been able to take in that accomplishment now that time has passed and there's been a little bit of space to breathe, even though obviously things have not ended, but it's maybe not as intense as it was at the beginning?
My goal is to touch as many people as I can all around the world with a kind of energy that we are charging our food with, and to make people that we are touching them to be much happier than the moment before we touch them. Michelin is not our frame. We are very wild people. We have no manners, but we have a lot of love to our people, to our inner people, and to our visitor, to our audience, to our clients. And that is our mission, to spread a good energy through one tool that we know how to work with, and that is hospitality, or if you are trying to focus, it's about food. You know, in Shmona restaurant, for example, when I'm serving steak, a piece of steak, that it's the most common dish. But people want it, so I have to serve it, okay? You want it, you have to eat a piece of somebody. I mean, a steak is a piece of cow, of a creature that was alive, that gave his life for you to eat him. So if he gave his life and his body to you, you have to recognize it. You don't have to hide it. I'm eating meat also. I'm not vegan. My wife is vegan. My grandfather was one of the first vegan people in the world. But, so what I'm doing is I'm roasting the steaks on the charcoals. The method is very simple. The meat in the States is amazing, so there's no problem to get wonderful results. And then when you have to take it out, I'm taking it out with my hands to get the heat of the meat into my body. And then I'm walking with the ribeye in my hand, without gloves, without anything, coming into the table, put it directly on the table without any isolation, not a napkin, not a plate, not a board, nothing. Just put it on, taking a sharp blade and slicing it so the blood is getting up. And there's a puddle of blood, and people are looking like that, and I'm looking on them back, saying nothing, but my eyes are saying, what do you think to yourself? You are eating an animal now. An animal is created out of blood and flesh. So I'm giving you the reality of your choices. And I'm doing my best that you will enjoy. But I have a duty to deliver you the all information about it. My team mostly is not extreme as me, so they're trying not to do that. But I'm visiting very often to continue to do that kind of things. And that is Shmona. It's a very, very naked restaurant that hiding nothing, standing on the edge. Sometimes it succeeds so much, it's touching the sky, and sometimes it's moderate. But that is a character for a restaurant that trying to push the borders and to change itself every day and to be a real, alive restaurant.
When you said just now, you know, you have a duty to show the diners the reality of the experience, where does that duty come from? Who said that's your duty?
when I'm doing food, when I'm designing my food, when I'm inventing my food, each ingredient is the whole world. I told you that each ingredient for me is a creature. And each creature in the world got a will and got a wish. And there's a place that it feels comfortable and another place that it doesn't feel comfortable. And I'm teaching my team to follow the feelings of the ingredient that they can feel with their eyes and with their senses and with their fingers. I know that most of the food scene in the world is taking words, mixing them together, hiding information, and think that combination is the thing with food. I'm saying to myself, no, if you are taking a tomato and you are brave enough to put all your mind into it, to listen into the inner feelings of that creature, you can find there everything in life. The same with cucumbers and parsley and whatever you choose. When I'm entering into a cucumber with my mind, with my fingers, I feel like Alice in the Wonderland. And I'm experiencing such a deep feelings that I have a duty to deliver it into my people, into my customers.
Never thought about cucumbers that way before. I've read that your mother's family has lived in Jerusalem for 8 generations.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. How does such a deep historic connection to that place, how has that shaped you as a person and as a cook?
I used to live for the last 35, 38 years in Tel Aviv. But Tel Aviv is full of immigrants from the other parts of the country. Like New York is full of inner immigrants. I'm a man that came from Jerusalem. It's a different accent in the language. It's deeper thoughts. It's inner feelings. Jerusalem is about walls and stones and struggle, unending struggle. The soil, you can feel, is full of blood and suffering and a very complicated history, and also full of dreams and hopes and feeling of holiness for all the people around the world. So from that background, I came. And when I began to cook, I was one of the first new Israeli chefs. There was no food scene in Israel, like there was no food scene in all the New World countries 40 years ago. So I have to find a way. There was no internet. To get out from Israel, it was very complicated. There were almost no cookbooks in Israel, and I didn't know how to cook. I just had a feeling that I have to invent the Israeli cuisine. I didn't realize that maybe I have to open some books and to learn how to cook. I never learned how to cook. I learned cinematography, but not cooking. But I wished to cook. I don't know why. I didn't know that if you are taking flour and water, a dough is coming out of it. I didn't realize it. I was like completely blind to food and felt untalented because in the beginning, I didn't succeed to do anything. But I understood that I have to take some inspiration. So I look around. There was no Israeli cuisine. There were almost no restaurants, and the restaurants were very primitive. But what impressed me so much were the old women that used to sell the 2 cucumbers in between the walls of the old city. And I look on the way that they are taking care about the 3 tomatoes, 1 onion, 3 cucumbers, and trying to understand what they are doing with it. These women were my first vision. The Palestinian women, the old Palestinian women. My other inspiration were the smells the winds that I met in the Jerusalem, in the mountains that are around Jerusalem, that I used to go there to harvest the wild herbs. I brought a lot into my restaurant. I didn't know what to do with them. I just took them because I knew that I had to take them. And then I recognized the sage. And suddenly I felt that the sage is giving a mysterious feeling that maybe I can stamp it into my food. And slowly, slowly, from the building blocks of Jerusalem, I create my first food.
What is your relationship like to those Palestinian women who are so fundamental to what you've built and what inspired you? How does that dynamic feel today? And you know, where does it live in your heart?
There's no borders when we are talking about food. They are just human beings, and there's a humanity. And wars as are not belongs to us as human beings. They belongs to states, to people that got interest, that making you to be involved in things that make no sense, that pointing on some other people and saying to you that they are the enemy and now you have to fight against them. And on the other side, the same governors are pointing on us as their enemy and convince people to fight against us. But I know I had a lot of relationship, working relationship, friendships between me and Palestinians when I was young, and the situation was very close into a complete assembling between the Israelis and the Palestinians before the Intifada. I know just one thing. A human being is a human being. And I'm working for peace and for love. And I think that in that madness that is warping us now in Israel, one of the biggest paths to walk through to get out from that is to reunion ourselves with our neighbors through food.
Speaking of, you have plans to open a new restaurant at a boutique hotel in Kibbutz Nir Am near the Gaza border. Why is that an important next project for you? And, you know, it's probably hard for people listening to even imagine a boutique hotel in an area where, you know, we're just picturing the images we've seen over the last few years.
You're asking a beautiful question. Look, when the war began, we lost everything in Israel. The pain was so strong. But from that pain, very quickly, I discovered in my first time in my life that I'm a part of people. I'm a part of a nation that call Israel. And it's not the structure, it's the people that immediately went out from the disaster and began to help one to each other. And I look on them. I was also a part of that. I cook for refugees, I cook for soldiers, I cook for hospitals. And suddenly, I felt that I'm not just living in that country, that I'm not just talking Igbo, that it's my mother language, that I'm a part of a wonderful people that have a mission to create a new Israel after that war. And Israel cannot remain the same country and will not remain the same country as she was before the war. So there will be a new Israel, I'm sure. That new Israel, a symbol root, a real root, is based in Otef Gaza, where the boutique hotel will be. So that is my beginning point, to do what I can to recreate Israel.
What's a feature of this new Israel? What makes it the new Israel?
There are a lot of wonderful people around the world. I met a lot. But the Israelis are so special because it's generations of struggle, hopes, dreams, suffering, pain, and wishes. It will be a liberal country. Israel is not liberal at all. Israel became a fundamental country. It's unbelievable what is happening around. It's happening very quick and very slowly. It will be changed.
All right, before I let you go, Chef, I've read that you like to end your days with a nice glass of Burgundy. Do you have a favorite producer, a favorite vintage, favorite vineyard?
I think that the best village in Burgundy, it's Mersault. I cannot find a wine that is better than what it's bringing to you.
The white or the red or both?
The white.
The white, yeah.
The white, yeah. I love a lot of producers. The one that I most like is Madame Leroy, that old crazy woman that doesn't cut her vines. Her own way is so strong that her wine getting completely a different frequency, that telling me the frequency of the universe, that bringing me the frequency of the universe into my mouth, and I'm getting a lot of information out of it. But it's so expensive.
I'm going to have to splurge for a bottle.
Yeah, I tried to get a red Bourgogne. The name is Bourgogne. It's the most simple and common wine. And you can find it sometimes in some places in reasonable prices.
Amazing. Chef, thank you so much for sharing your passion, your food.
It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And I look forward to eating at one of your restaurants very soon, I hope.
I wish.
All right, folks. He's a mensch. It's been 30 minutes. I'm Jonah Platt. Tayavon.